News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
On News Talk.
Now, Taoiseach Simon Harris recently asked the Low Pay Commission not to look at the minimum wage in isolation when making its recommendation in July. So is this signalling a government U-turn in delivering on its promised national living wage? To discuss this, we're joined by Eoin Reedy, General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, Tony Foley, Emeritus Associate Professor of Economics with the DCU Business School. Tony, to you first, is the Taoiseach right about this?
No, he's not right in that. First of all, the Low Pay Commission does not look at things in isolation. Its primary aim, if I quote from its website and its legislation and so on, is to have a minimum wage that provides an incentive to work, is set to work at a rate that is fair and sustainable, helps as many people as possible without a significant adverse effect on competitiveness or a significant negative impact on employment. So they don't look at it in isolation. They're very clearly there to look at it in a competitiveness-related and other environment. Now, of course, employers may argue they don't put enough attention on competitiveness, and trade unions may argue they put too much attention on it, and
well,
so
sorry,
on.
Well, sorry, Tony, can I just ask you, if they don't look at it in isolation, why is there always an increase?
There is always an increase because, first of all, prices tend to rise continuously, so it's compensation for that. But more recently, and this is another quibble I'd have with the Taoiseach, although I agree with the principle that we do have a competitiveness issue for small businesses, but in this respect, the recent large increases in the national minimum wage was part of the government's objective to get to a living wage by January 2026. So that's going to be at about 60% of the median wage. At the moment, it'll be about 1480 in euros or 15 euros, whereas the national minimum wage is 1270. So the government itself has set a target to reach the living wage at 60% of median income by January 2026. So these big recent increases are the steps towards that.
Okay, all right.
So again, whether or not one would agree with that, it's the government has set that situation.
All right, I want to bring Eoin Reedy in. What did you make of what the Taoiseach had to say, Eoin?
Good morning, Shane and Tony. Well, it seems the Taoiseach's been spooked by a lot of the spin that we've heard from the employer union since January. And I think if there was any reneging on this expressed government commitment, this programme for government commitment, as Tony said, to get to the living wage by 2026, it would be a real slap in the face for many low-paid workers. Let's remember, many of these workers, particularly in retail, were hailed as you know, essential workers during the pandemic. And obviously, if that were to change, essential in a crisis and really down the pecking order at a time of calm. And I think, you know, whilst there is an issue with the cost of doing business for some employers, the whole sentiment has been overblown.
You think it's overstated, Eoin, do you?
Oh, I think the facts speak for themselves, and I can go through them if you want, Shane.
Yeah, just give us a brief flavour of what the facts are.
Well, I mean, we have never had as many people in employment, 2.71 million people in employment. We effectively have no unemployment. Minister Burke, on the 1st of May himself, said for every one firm that's closing, nine are opening. The two areas that have shouted the loudest, hospitality and retail, their figures for employment are up. What's really unfortunate is the employers have largely targeted labour rates. I mean, I have sympathy for them on the cost of insurance and legal fees and energy, but to target labour rates, and I have to say, Shane, and I hope you, News Talk and others don't take this personally, but they've literally been able to state their case without very little rigorous challenge or analysis. They're also under tax. That's another thing.
I hope that hasn't been the case on News Talk Breakfast. I do to think we do challenge people, but I take the point you're making. Tony Foley, are small businesses crying wolf here?
No, I don't think they are crying wolf, but it is, as Eoin says, a sectoral thing. It's obviously not an issue for multinationals and banks and big accountancy firms and so on.
I don't think Eoin was suggesting it was, though. I think he made the point for every one closing, there's nine opening.
Yeah, but for the one closing, it's still closing. So that's an issue for that in terms of if it's primarily concentrated in a particular sector. So, for example, there's about 100,000 to 150,000 people on the minimum wage. But in hospitality, it's about a quarter of the employment is on the minimum wage. So it is not correct to say that the minimum wage would be irrelevant to those. in terms of retail, about 30% of the employment are on the minimum wage. And of course, the minimum wage is a base, and then obviously more higher wage levels are then related to that. So it is not correct to say it is not a relevant issue. It is a very relevant issue for lots of firms in particular sectors, but not in other sectors.
Okay. What would you say to that, Owen?
Well, I think in hospitality and retail, I think you've got to break it down. It's a relevant issue, perhaps for some kind of one-off entities as opposed to some of the chains. I think we have to look within the sectors. And I would say if there are specific problems there, of course those firms should get supports. But to have a blanket approach, this narrative that, you know, we need to stop these modest labour market reforms like statutory sick leave over 4 years, getting to the real living wage over 4 years. To have that blanket approach is wrong. It's kind of using a hammer to crack a nut, and we don't need that. There is obviously an inability to pay clause in the national minimum wage legislation. I think I can count on one hand the number of firms that have actually used that in the last number of years. And the last thing to say is, like, are we really saying that workers on the minimum wage, the lowest paid in our society, haven't a right to aspire to an increase in excessive inflation?
Okay. Are we, Tony? Tony Foley, are we saying that?
There, one is the actual wage rate, but the other is all the other costs that have been increased. And Owen has mentioned some of them, that we've got auto-enrollment in terms of pension, sick pay, extended or like extra leave and so on. And on top of that, for particularly hospitality, we've had the VAT increase from the 9% to the 13.5%. And of course, they are all government policies that have been implemented. The living wage is a government policy. So it is okay. A case where significant costs, and just to re-echo what Owen had said earlier, he put a lot of effort into getting compensation for workers for the cost of living. Many small enterprises in particular sectors equally have major cost of viability problems in terms of all the costs.
We do have to leave it there. Interesting, nuanced discussion. My thanks to you both, Owen Reedy, General Secretary of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, Tony Foley of the DCU Business School. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning. Let us know what you make of it. All 087-1400-106.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR
on News Talk.